Galatians chapter 6. As we turn there, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will dig into God's word this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we beg of you a blessing. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to truly touch us and to show us where it is that we need cleaning, areas that we need to surrender to you, and Lord, that we might truly be ready to obey. Father, we ask that your name would be praised through the messages and through the Lord's table to follow. Lord, might your name receive all of the glory. Amen. We've been going through Galatians, and we're going to start reading in verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. We have here a foundational principle. The Bible has a lot of these. I don't know if you've noticed, but there are some things that are foundational principles. Reaping what you sow is one of those. It is a principle that applies across pretty much everything. Nature, it applies to the trees, and it applies to the animals, it applies to people. What we do, how we reap, those are the things that we sow in our life. This principle is not a new one. Paul is not coming up with this for the first time. Instead, he is reminding us of something that Jesus himself taught, that we reap what we sow. I want us to notice, though, in verse 7, that it is something that mankind wants to do, to turn this reaping and sowing on its head. He says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. God is the one who has set up this principle of sowing and reaping. He has set up the principle that if you plant a particular type of seed in the ground, that's the kind of plant that will come up. He is the one who has set that law of nature down. He is the one who has made that. And God is not to be mocked by us. This is not something we can get around. The world would try and change this pattern, this principle, and they would call it karma. That is, you've sowed good things and you're going to reap good things. And it's not just called karma. Sometimes there are the Catholics among the country who will say things like, you know, we've done good things in the past and now we're going to reap our good benefits here on earth. As Christians, this is not exactly reaping and sowing. This is a twisting of that doctrine. They believe that they have earned to themselves some benefit or blessing by their actions. And karma, again, works that same way, where they expect that they have earned for themselves something good by doing something good now. They have earned themselves riches or wealth or anything like that. Whereas we find this principle of reaping and sowing is that if we will plant God's word in our heart, the fruit of the Spirit will be born out in us. If we will plant in our life love and grace and mercy and long-suffering towards others, we will find that we reap eternal rewards. The reaping here is not always on this earth and physical. Instead, it is that we will receive the reward for that which we have done here on this earth. It is not something that we have to wait for another life here on earth to receive, nor is it something that every bad thing that we have happened to us, every circumstance is a result of a bad action that we have done in the past. there are bad things in this world, and sometimes the cyclone comes through and it hits everyone in town. That doesn't mean everyone in town were the worst sinners in the whole country. It means that there is sin, therefore there is destruction and damage and evil in this world. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Notice it doesn't list for us specific sins in verses 8 and 9 and 10. Instead, it lists for us a general category of sowing to the flesh. Sowing after the desires and the lusts of our flesh, if we sow those things, we reap corruption. We reap corruption. If you take a bit of a fish or some other dead animal and you bury it in the ground, what happens to it? It rots. And if you don't bury it deep enough, it stinks. It comes to corruption. We find that doing things after the flesh only builds up more things to corrupt. It stores up for us a greater warehouse of things that are going to fall to pieces with corruption. But we find then at the end of verse 8, the opposite is true of sowing to the Spirit. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. You want an abundant life. You want a life that is abounding in many great and precious things, gifts from the Spirit that are in our life now, walking through this life to see God work, then we must sow to the Spirit. Sowing is allowing something to go out and to die. When you plant the seed, it ceases to be a seed. The edges kind of dissolve and fall apart. Little sprout comes up, and it's no longer a seed. It's now a plant that's growing up. The seed dies in the earth, and then up comes a new plant. We sow to the Spirit. We cast out without any hope the Word of God, and we see the huge reward that comes in our own life. Notice this is not telling us that we will have everything easy here on this life, but instead it is reaping in eternity. In verse 9, we are told to continue. It says, "Let us not be weary." Too often, we get halfway through a task and we look at the things left to do, and the list is very long. If you're anything like me, you start a whole bunch of tasks and you've got them going, but none of them are finished. So even, you know, you're halfway to the end, and yes, you've done a lot of work on them, but you're not done. And so you can't check them off the list. The list seems to just be ever expanding. Here we find we are not to get weary in well-doing, because if we continue to sow to the Spirit, if we continue to sow those things which God has called for us to sow in our life, we will reap. I like the promise of that. In due season, we shall reap. There is that caveat that it's in due season. It's not just that we've sown and then the next day we receive the blessing that we hoped for, or the blessing that we wanted, but if we continue to do well, we will reap. It's a guarantee. We will reap if we faint not. We don't want to become fainting Christians. Fainting Christians do not believe God. They believe God enough for salvation, but not enough for life here on this earth. They believe God enough to choose Jesus, but not enough to walk the way he asked them to walk. Not enough to trust God in the face of troubles. We must not be weary in well-doing. We must faint not. Fainting not just means giving up. I don't know if you've ever been there, at the place where it's the only option is giving up. We cannot give up on God and on working for Him. We must continue to sow to the Spirit. God may have different times in our life where we're able to do different things. You know, the young men are able to do the physical things, and the older men were able to sit back and nod and say, yep, go do it. Hopefully. Some of us are still in the midst of the doing big things. But we carry the load that we can at the time that we can, but we never stop sowing those good things to God. We never stop sowing to the Spirit. Maybe your ministry has changed from one of action to one of praying. Maybe you have gone from serving out in front to serving from behind and out of sight. No matter in which way that you are serving, continue to serve God. Continue to sow to the Spirit. And in your life, if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap an everlasting benefit. Do not give up. It is not that we are perfect, but that we are faithful. It is not that we are the best at, but that we are faithful. If we serve God faithfully, if we don't faint, if we trust God all the way through, we will find Him to do great things in our life. We find in verse 10 the application that Paul has for us. He says, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men. Let us do good to all men. If you want to reap spiritual blessings and you want to sow to the Spirit, then follow the Spirit's leading in doing good unto all men. We should be known as those who are willing and ready to do good unto others. And not to totally hijack this morning's message. And by the way, I hope you guys appreciate that while I guess I'm in charge of making these sermons, I didn't plan a year ago when I started Mark that I would end up preaching a message that would line up in Galatians and in Mark at the same time. We have here the command to do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. This is God's message for us today. I don't know which one of us needs to hear it. Probably all of us, considering it's repeated now for us in the morning and in the evening message. But we need to do good unto them who are of the household of faith. We need to seek out ways of being a blessing to those who are next to us in the pews. Those who name the name of Christ, belong to Christ, if we can borrow from this morning's message. We need to seek out doing good unto all men, but especially to the household of faith. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Therefore, let us do good. That should be our motive, our motto maybe would be even a better way of putting it. My motto, doing good to all men, especially the household of faith. It gets a bit long then, doesn't it? This is how we ought to approach our life. Here, Paul is not telling them, here's the 10 things you need to do, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, listing off. You know, you need to go and you need to talk to someone every day and encourage them. You need to hand out 3 tracts. You need to feed 2 homeless people. He doesn't give you a list like that. Instead, he says, use your eyes, use your ears, find people who have need, do good unto them. Do good to them. What is good? What is evil? We could go on a very long sermon tonight going over all the things that the Bible describes as good and evil. But I think we can just go back a little bit to chapter 5 and briefly glance over that. And the evil things would be the things listed in verses 19 of chapter 5 through 21, including adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, wrath, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and so forth. Those are the bad. But what are the good things? Well, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we live in the Spirit, these things will come naturally to us. And when we do good to others, we will extend to them joy, peace, long-suffering. We will bear with them gently. I'm sure we've all met someone who they did nice things for people, but they were abrasive in how they did it. You know, they came in and rode roughshod over everyone's feelings, but they still did nice things, and so you didn't complain too much. But we have the opportunity as Christians to sow our good deeds with gentleness and with goodness. All through our life, we should be doing good. Do not faint. Do not give up. One day, this life will be over. One day, it will be over, and we will reap. If we haven't reaped in this life, we will definitely reap in the life to come. We will reap of God life everlasting, eternal reward. This is doing good unto all men. I want us to then back up to verse 6, and we skip this verse on purpose because it could seem to be a very self-serving verse if we don't have Paul's motivation and his desire that the people he was talking to from Galatia, all these different churches in Galatia, as they are looking to him as someone who had helped start their churches, they're looking to him, and he's telling them all of these things where they're wrong and how they can do better and how they can walk in the Spirit. And then he gives them this instruction about sowing and reaping and doing good unto all men, especially the household of faith. There is one other application given in verse 6. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." This would seem to be a self-serving thing that Paul is asking. He is saying they need to give of their material things to those who have taught them, and taught them not just anything, but taught them the word. This is the design of God. This is the instruction of Paul. And Paul then gives us that command, be not deceived, God is not mocked. You want to see blessing in your life, then those who are sowing the word in your life may be an area where you show the goodness of God, where you do good unto all men. And again, that's really hard to preach because it seems self-serving. But we find here that this is one example. Other examples would be to give unto those who are lacking. In all of these things, our physical activities are helpful activities that we do. All of the things that we sow, unless they are done in the flesh and for the flesh, they will reap. They will reap in due season. We will receive good of God. I don't know about you, but I would rather receive of God praise than to receive a lottery ticket that wins. Not that I play the lottery, but I would rather have that. I would rather have of God a well done, thou good and faithful servant, than pretty much anything you can name. This is how each one of us needs to approach our life. How can I serve God? How can I help those who are around me, especially those who believe in Christ? And if I will rely upon the Spirit to show me when and where I can sow those fruits of the Spirit in the life of other people, then I will reap. And I can't stop doing it. I can't give up halfway. This is our Savior seen in us. He didn't go halfway to the cross and give up. Even when it got to be too hard for him to carry the pieces of the cross himself and they had to get someone else to help carry, yet Jesus did not give up. He went all the way to the cross, unto death, and then he won. Yes, he died, but then he rose again. Yes, he died, but his death purchased for us salvation, purchased for us eternal life. Jesus showed us that reaping after the Spirit and sowing after the Spirit is a long-haul project. We can't give up now. We need to keep serving our Savior.